Okay, so we have a verification of quorum. We have done the Pledge of Allegiance. Can I get an acceptance of the agenda?
I make a motion to accept the agenda as published.
This is for Sheila.
I'd second that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Do you want to give a treasurer's report, Alan?
Okay. Okay, Bank of the West, we have an account there now.
Oh, good.
The current balance is $715,000. And that's it. There is no interest report at this time because they haven't had it that long. Okay, our Bank of Oklahoma. We have a beginning balance was $21,992.22. This is considered a checking account. They have now added a service fee. So there is a $2 fee for having this checking account. And we made 36 cents interest. So we ended up negative $1.64. So our current balance is $21,990.58. The best of my knowledge, they did not send us a notice that they were adding that $2 service charge.
I never saw that when I opened them up.
Well, I asked the bookkeeper if she had seen that anywhere in our letters.
Does it have to be? Can it go to some savings account?
We would have to change the status, and I can find that out.
But isn't that that's the bank account we pay our bills out of?
Well, no.
No?
No. The only reason we have that is because they are the ones that held the mortgage on this place. Yeah. And the whole idea is to keep a line of credit potential there. So I guess it's an acceptable expense. The community bank, our money market account, we had a beginning balance of $802,751.86. I'm not sure what the interest is, but it's making us $164.94 a month, which is we changed the status there somehow or another, and we get four times the interest what we used to get. So our ending balance is $802,916.80. In our checking account in that same bank, we had a beginning balance of $1,134,492.41. Now, with bills and the $715,000 we moved to Bank of the West, we had total deductions for the month of $724,059.78. That the difference of about not quite four no it's would be a difference of about $10,000. Apparently that was transactions. We had a total transactions for the month out of that checking account of, this is after the 715, of $28,318.94. So our current balance in that checking account is $353,085.04, which should be enough to run the library through February, because we, in payroll and everything, it takes about $95,000 a month.
Did she say through February? Because we're going to talk about the discretionary bonuses, and that's got to come. That's in there too, I think.
And what was that total? $350,000.
$353,085.
And four cents.
We didn't talk about the discretionary funds out of that $300,000. So I'm not sure.
We've gotten all of our money, with the exception of a few motor vehicle things for the year, late fees or whatever.
There's about, based on our budget, current budget, there's about a $60,000 or $65,000 cushion there to run through, to cover November, December, January. I guess it only runs through January. It doesn't include February.
I think we get that first tax check in February or March.
Yes. Actually, it's February. So we're, based on past experience, we should be getting somewhere around $400,000 with that next payment. And I don't think we have another one coming before the end of the year.
No, we don't. We just have motor vehicle stuff. She said small.
There might be an additional $20,000 coming through on the motor vehicle.
Well, that balance will also be where we pay the discretionary bonuses up, if approved. So,
okay, that's my report. The books have been reconciled, and so we are good. All checks that we've issued have been cleared. So. We had a couple of checks that were hanging out there for something like almost 60 days. A couple of libraries that we owed them $10, $15 for a book that we borrowed from them, and for whatever reason were unable to. Those places have finally cashed their check.
Good. Okay. Can we get an approval? I sent you the minutes twice. Hopefully you guys took a read of those minutes. And did you have any changes or adjustments? Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I get approval of the minutes from the September 28, 2022 board meeting then?
I need to approve the minutes from the September 28th meeting.
I would second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ayes carry. Branch managers report. And I guess we'll start with you, Jen, and I'm going to ask you guys to keep it to 5 minutes if you can.
And then short and sweet. All right. So over the past month, I'm still kind of doing a lot of the ASG stuff and bringing in branch manager stuff where I can. So let's see. We've got the Harvest Fest on Saturday here in Elizabeth. I wanted to go to this one because I didn't get to do the one in Kiowa. So trying to get the library out there at the festivals. And then I got a couple of programs coming up. We have Barnes program next week, and so far we only have 6 people registered, but I'm going to try and ramp that up.
Something tomorrow? Don't yep. We have something tomorrow?
There is. Yeah, there is. We have a spectral, so the Spectral Storytelling Society was going to bring in the curator of Archives from History Colorado to do ghost stories from Douglas County, but she had to have emergency dental surgery.
Oh.
And so she can no longer present. So we're going to try and get her in another time. She's like, ghosts are cool all year. I'm like, it's true. So, but so hopefully we'll get her in.
Okay.
We're still going to meet to talk about ghosts, but I had quite a few people drop off when we lost Sean.
Okay.
So that's tomorrow night. Oh, what time? It is at 6:30. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tomorrow night 6:30. Usually it's at 7.
When is the Harvest Festival?
Harvest Festival is this Saturday.
This Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to pass out candy?
Yes.
Okay, I went last year. What time are we doing that from?
I think I have to get there at 9:30 to set up, and I will be there from 9:30 until 3.
Do you need an easy up?
What's that?
Do you need an easy up for cover for shade?
Yeah, we have a
canopy.
Yeah.
We used an easy up last year. If you need one, I'll bring one.
I think we've got
that's
one.
What you have back there.
I think we've got one, but I'll double check. Okay.
I saw one back there.
Yeah,
I
was loading up Harry Potter yesterday. Club trailer.
Or Monday.
Okay. Is it here in Elizabeth?
It is, yeah. Off Main Street. And I think we have a table, right? We have a table and a tablecloth or a banner.
And it's a banner. Okay. But it's not. It's a banner.
Okay, cool.
So, you know, I'm volunteering for the chamber on the setup.
Oh.
And then I'm on the ECAA booth, but it sounds like we might have extra people on ECAA. So if you need help, I might be able to cross over.
That sounds great.
I'll be there. I'll pass out candy.
Okay.
I might even.
I thought you were coming for candy.
I know. I was assuming.
I'll bring a table and a little table. And I brought one of the dogs last year, and I convinced everybody that it was one of my dogs. Was one of the cats dressed up like a dog. Had a couple kids fooled pretty good.
So that's happening. Let's see. So on Friday, I'm going to meet with the Friends of Kiowa. Just to get to know them and kind of hear their needs and wants and to tell them my needs and wants. So that'll be great. And I've been onboarding with Kathy and Lori. I have a credit card now. I know, watch out. Fun times ahead. Kathy showed me how to order, so I'm starting to order. And then I did POs this past week with Mary Ellen, so that was good. Let's see. Yes, so next, you know, really hoping to get ASG hired soon, and then LST's hired so that we can get Saturday covered at Kiowa. I think that's about all I've got.
Have you guys ever satisfied your issue with your back door?
It still has a wooden board over it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't done anything beyond that.
Did Rick get with you on? Mm-mm. Okay, I've got his number. Okay. I'll give that to you.
Okay, perfect.
Because he was going to pray, because the one that's back here has to be cut down too far, so then it would expose particle board and it wouldn't work. And so he was going to price out another door, and I think I gave him your information, but anyway, I'll give it to you so you can touch base with him.
Thank you.
Things are just rolling along as they normally do. Unfortunately, after our last meeting, Jennifer Richardson gave me her resignation for ASG, because I think she might have said, or you might have heard, that her husband is being relocated to Connecticut. And so we don't know exactly when that is. It's coming up, which for programs is fabulous that we have some transition time. We have some money in the budget, so we'll be able to hire somebody and transition one person in, another person out.
Did you talk to Mary Ellen about that too?
She said, yes, there's money in the budget for that. Yeah. And Friday we got three applications for ASG. I think they're all viable. Oh, there's two knowns and one unknown, but based on resumes and what have you, it looks like all three are viable. So Jen and I will be interviewing on Friday. We have Trunk or Treat coming up. And what we did is we borrowed all the Harry Potter stuff from here. So the repurposing Harry Potter. And we already have books hanging from the ceiling and candles and banners and potions and all kinds of things all over the place, which is really fun. As it stands right now, our writing and art contest, we have not gotten any submissions, but last year we got them right at the very end. So we still may get some. And it's tough. It's a really cool idea, but I don't know if it's, last year we got a few, but maybe it's too sad, you know, like there's only a few and they don't want to do it every year. I don't know. So we'll play with that.
But that's kind of where we're at with some of the things we're doing. You know, the kids really like the STEAM that we do STEAM on Mondays because they don't have school. And so we have an audience of kids every week or every Monday to do activities with Jen. And the other thing I really am appreciating about Jen is she is, you know, creating like a calendar, an annual calendar that says these are some of the annual events that we do. These are the weekly things we do. I mean, she's really creating some good tools that didn't exist when she took over the position. So I'm really appreciative of the effort that she's putting into that, as well as her constant marketing. I mean, she just really gets out there and gets it done. So anyway, that's all I have.
Okay. I'm just going to ask that you guys, while I'm thinking about it, start documenting the things that you've been doing in your libraries, because we're going to need that stuff when we start year-end stuff for the, talking about the annual budget, when we do the briefing next year for the commissioners. I really want to be able, you guys have done so much this year, and I really want to be able to toot your horns. So if you'll just take a note and start working on that, if you really.
Okay. Things are moving along here too. Use of the meeting room is picking up. We have more commercial users that are going to be paying us, so that's a good thing. We have programs coming. We've got Robert on the 2nd and then on the 16th of November. We had last night the lady that we always see about Medicare, and we don't know if she had any people.
Yeah.
That's an interesting problem that we'll talk about next year. She's always done it, and she was somebody's friend, and so she doesn't pay for the room.
Mm-hmm.
But theoretically, it's a marketing opportunity for her,
mm-hmm.
and others have asked. So I think next year we'll do it differently and advertise a little better.
Well, as she shared with me, she says she doesn't make any money. She just does it as a service. So I don't know exactly what the story is. I'm not saying that's.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I don't know what I would say to one of her competitors.
Right.
That's my concern. Jen kind of covered the hiring. We've had here one applicant for the AFD and one applicant for the library tech. I don't know anything about the ASG. Person, I don't know. I really don't know.
Is it the one from Calhoun, or do you have another one? Because we had one that applied for both areas, and I did not accept the application. I didn't offer an interview.
Well, I'll take a look and see.
Yeah, I think it might be that one.
We had one right away from a gentleman from North Dakota who I interviewed before, and it was a disaster. So we will not talk to him.
Go ahead.
One of the things that we're wondering, I'm wondering if it would help if we were able to in our notices indicate that this is the current pay that we know that it's going up in January.
Well, I was getting ready to tell you that you should go back and change your notice, and when you find a person, the minimum for that is $15.67.
Okay.
And the mid is $18.79 per hour. So it's somewhere between there. And I would say, and then we'll talk about, depending on experience and what they're bringing to the table, like where you slot them in that, between that. But I think you could say that $15.67 to $18.79, depending upon experience.
So that's for the ASG, which mm-hmm. is activity services guide.
Mm-hmm.
And then the library tech, is that a different deal?
Library tech is different, but I was saying that because I know they have a posting out,
right.
And I noticed the rates were lower, and I meant to tell you that.
We just put it at approximately in an approximate area where we thought was reasonable, not knowing what the actual ranges were.
That's what it is. And so you could go ahead and change your posting on that if you want. And then when you find somebody,
and then I can say that in the interview
on
Friday, let them know that it was posted incorrectly. It actually is different. Okay.
So that way, then they'll be covered in the budget for next year.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Well, now would they start if I have my person start right away, they would start at this rate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Let's see. We talked about scheduling for the tech, because this will be a shared person between the two of us. And I think we're getting to where we know what we need. Definitely Saturday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday morning here, Sandy doesn't like being alone when the courier comes. I don't blame her. And
The library technician.
And there's no way to use anybody that we have.
No.
To increase hours.
The one thing, the one person that we would love to give more hours to is Elizabeth. She's already in Kiowa.
Okay.
I just had a thought. I have a sub. She doesn't drive though. Forget it. No, nope, can't do it. Yeah, I was like, oh, I have a sub, but yeah, she can't. She
and
can't
on Saturdays. And if you're looking at a library tech,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
let me give you that. The minimum is $13.79. Now, and then I'm going to give you the mid, but then I got to tell you when we talk about where your people are.
What happens when I think the minimum wage goes to $13.84. Is that not right in January? I thought it was $13.84. So that low end is below what I think. $13.75. $13.79
is the men.
Right. It's and but I'm just saying the it looks like
it should be higher than the minimum. Yeah. And the mid is $15.86. I don't remember off the top of my head what the minimum was, but we looked at that.
Okay.
To make sure.
I think it's $13.65.
But we don't have anybody in the compensation for the next year being paid at the minimum.
Okay.
None of them. I think we brought them all up to the mid.
One thing we've talked about with the activities guide is could we divide it into two positions? Mm-hmm. We might be able to attract somebody who wants to work while the kids are at school, something like that. Would that be something that would be viable? Have one for Kiowa and Albert and one for Elizabeth?
It'd be without benefits, so it would be two positions.
So instead of having one person full-time, you have two part-time?
Have two part-time, mm-hmm. Which would be minus the benefits, which would be a savings actually in the long run.
Yeah, because I feel like most people I've talked to are like, I wish it was part-time. Don't you get so many part-time positions?
Mm. So, you could do that. You could split it up and make it part-time.
I think you guys have an idea of what that looks like mm-hmm. in terms of hours, yeah. too.
A related question, the one person that we have here that we know would dearly love more hours, if we give her more hours, she'll be 232, I think, because what we figured was 31, 32. Mm-hmm. I can talk to Janie. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want benefits. Legally, I guess we're...
we have to offer them.
So if she goes to 32 or over, she's going to, there's going to
be. She becomes full-time, and then we have to look at she gets the full-time benefits. But I think we have to talk to Mary Ellen about that. And I also think you're going to talk to the new director about that, because there's a little bit in the budget. Mary Ellen, we kind of thought in case, depending on what that director wants to hire in terms of maybe an IT person or in terms of maybe an admin, what that might look like. We can talk about that and talk to Mary Ellen the next time she's here mm-hmm. about that, or you can call her and ask her see. Yeah. She'll probably, I've been asking her to make adjustments all week. Can you change this? Can you take it up? Can you do this?
Because we're starting to get some solid numbers in terms of estimated agreements and things like that changes numbers.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So, but definitely you could do the two ASGs because I think she's allocated for one 40-hour person.
So we've got that in our back pocket. That probably will help. Next thing, the three of us attended, and I think
Dell, Janie, did Susan attend?
I think she did for a little bit.
A bunch of us attended the online conference for AspenCat, and it's kind of their annual. Here's what we're doing. It's always good. Mm-hmm. They're real pros. You know that. You've worked with them. I always ask point blank, do you have a new director yet?
click.
Yeah. Anna knows because I had to talk to Anna about it.
I knew Anna.
And she's really excited about it. So
yep.
They're like, we can't wait till that person accepts it.
Jim asked me, I think he was wondering, he was trying to see if I'd slip.
Oh.
I've known him long enough to know that he would do that.
Lauren, is it Aspen Cap? Cat.
Cat. And it's all one, it's capital A, capital C, and it's all one word.
Yeah. The one thing that did come up that I think is going to be helpful, one, the charges for that service will not go up for the coming year. We have gotten the bill for the courier, as you know, because
you're asking about it.
And that's not a little bit, but it...
Just make sure Mary Ellen knows it. So
I did already sent her. I sent it to her so because I said you should be expecting an invoice at some point. So I want you to have this. And it's the signed agreement too, so that okay. She wants to put, and I just put my name per you so that because technically I don't have contract signing capability.
I think we said until a director. I think we made a motion.
I think or something like, but I just did it. Me per you, so it kind of shows
that we talked about.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So that was good news because they would have had every reason to increase and they didn't. And that continues to grow. There's 154 libraries in that collaborative now, which is really powerful.
Well, and it was about at 110 or so when you and I started 3 years ago. So that's a significant growth in a 3 year period of time or 2.5 years.
So they picked up big groups like Park County. They're picking up a school district.
Yeah, they're doing really well. I mean, it's because they're doing the job well. So more and more people are hearing about them and willing to do it. So it's a really good thing for everybody. And actually, when you think about the fact that they are, you know, our courier prices went up a little bit, but in that report, over 18,000 books were couriered from our libraries to other libraries, which means that we are an integral part of that consortium and that we're doing a good job of purchasing books because people want what we have.
That's great.
And so,
it's more than having the books, it's having the right books.
Right, exactly. Well, and it's also that it's not just a measure of how our library is used in our community, but how we are used in the consortium because
without the
consortium, our work community wouldn't have access to a lot of books. I mean, we get in a lot of holds from all over the place as well. So it is a feather in our cap that we have to get charged a little extra because we're high performers.
And just so, I mean, in case you guys, so the Colorado Library Consortium, right, which is who we use to help us with the director, who I have been hand in hand with since I became president, talking to and making sure that we're following rules and doing what we need to do. That's just one of their services compared to this in addition to this courier service that they do.
Yeah. Well, several books that I've checked out, I've used the courier.
That's a great service.
Yeah, it's a great service. Yeah. And they do all that with only 12 people. They're small like we are. It's pretty cool. Other good news from the Aspen Cat is that they got a grant from the state to use for e-content. That's really good news, and I'm going to take a little time here. You're going to have to bear with me. That e-content, you know, downloadable books, downloadable audiobooks, they're taking off. It's what people want. And so a bestseller right now, it starts with us by Colleen Hoover. It's the latest women's book. I say that having it in my briefcase right now.
I already read it last week.
In the consortium, we have 11 copies, 15 people waiting. That's not so bad, of the hard copy. Of the ebook, we have 5 copies, 68 people waiting.
Oh my gosh.
I already purchased for our library to add to the consortium. I purchased that book to go in that to help with to offset because we buy that book and automatically that book is already out. And unlike the way you do a book internally, you only get for 3 weeks and bam, it's gone. They take it right away. They take it away from you and it goes to the next person. So you better get her done. But that one you can't put down.
The downloadable audio, which is the fastest growing segment of the book market, And I think it's because people have realized how great it is for driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other part of driving, which is new cars don't have CD players anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They all have Bluetooth, but they don't have CD players. So the audiobook for that, or audiobook price for that same thing is, well, not price. They've got one copy and they've got 42 people waiting for that one.
But now they'll have two. Maybe that's the one I bought because I bought it in both written and audio.
Here's the sticky thing though, and this is why that grant was great. The hard copy book that we bought was $17.99. The ebook was $59.99 for 2 years. We don't own it.
Oh.
We're renting it for 2 years. And the same for the audiobook, which surprised me because usually the audiobook is more. So I looked at Stephen King, you know, he's so his book, which is enormous, his current book is huge. To buy it is $32.50 as a book, to buy it as a CD, $79.99. To buy it as an ebook to read on your Kindle, $67.99 for 24 months. Mm-hmm. And to buy it as an e-audiobook, which we know is what everyone wants, $129.99.
But there's a lot of libraries to purchase that one. I don't think I purchased that one because I was like, you know what? I just recently did an OverDrive purchase. And so I was looking for things like, the things like It Starts With Us, where there's this huge list and there's like four books, because then I know that we're going to get the bang for the buck in terms of the turnover of, and I figure too, in that 2 year period, it'll kind of go cold probably to some degree, and we'll have a lot of copy, you know, somebody will pick it up along the way again.
But anyway, the moral of the story is that the use of the downloadable content is going up, and the cost is going up as well, which just shocks me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always going to be a tension here. The thing that we don't know, this is embarrassing, but we don't know how many of our patrons actually use downloadables.
There's no way to get any type of.
They don't come in. I mean, we don't see them. They don't check things out through the catalog.
But I wonder if there's any kind of.
So we're going to talk. That's a whole different group of customers.
Surely, I'm just wondering if there's some way that you could gather that data and get that metric.
I'm going to try to contact OverDrive and see if there's a way that they can. Or either that or the consortium, one of the two. Yeah. I'll start with OverDrive though, because they're the ones, but they may only track usage. They might not track. People. So, but anyway. Somebody somewhere along the way, there's got to be the data somewhere.
Up until this point, our people haven't been using the downloadable content as much, so I haven't been worrying about it. But I've been watching it go up and up, and then of course across the county line, it's just bizarre. They'll have 500 people waiting for six copies of something.
Well, they're so expensive too. Depending on your budget.
Yeah.
That impacts your budget.
Absolutely.
On your services.
And of course, what ticks off some people is that, it, you know, for all that money, you don't own them. They go away.
Yeah.
Now, those of us who are reading books off of shelves, we don't care because.
Well, but
I was about to say, but do you really?
But you know, the beauty of that is you can't, apparently you can weed if you want. I don't know how that works, but. But anyway, it is interesting because. We have this money sitting out there that we need to spend, and so I finally just went. I just did some webinars and bit the bullet and went out and did some research and chose them. And we divided the money between us, and of my money, I think I only have like $400 left. I don't have a whole lot.
These ebooks. I see people on the airplane all the time reading a book on their iPhone.
iPad.
I read on an iPad.
Here I am sitting with the hard copy book, reading my book.
Yep. And you can leave that hard copy in your hotel room too.
I usually, if I go on Amazon or something, I buy a book and it gives you the ebook or whatever. I mean, I might get it, but generally, I like a book. I like to turn the pages. I try to do it on my iPad, and it's just not the same.
Yeah.
I dig it. No way I do it.
I love my Kindle.
Yeah, and I right now I'm on my fourth book in a week.
What I like is the ability to highlight.
And some of them are listening and some of them are
and one was
highlighting to me, you know, if I want to, if there's a particular part of something that I want to.
I'm like, Kirk, forget it. I got to finish my book.
I can find that.
And it's really slick to listen to them in the car because you don't have to stop and put the thing in the thing.
Well, no, if I was listening to, now I will take this back because I had to read a book for work. So exciting.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun. And my boss was like, well, let's talk about it. And I was like, I don't have time to read this book. Like, stay entertained. So that one, I did download it.
Audible.
And I stuck it, you know, and I listened to it in my car when I got in the car. But then when you're driving and you're paying attention to driving and then you lose it, oh, crap, I lost a chapter. I got to go back and re-listen to that.
Yeah. See, I've been listening to books for so long. I will know, I'll drive through a section and I'll go, oh, my mind will go right back to where I was in the book the last time I went through town. Just because my brain is trained.
And then if you're hearing something really good and you get to where you're going, you just keep going.
Or you pull up and you go, I pulled into the garage and I shut the garage door and
you just sit in the car. I've done that too.
So,
okay. Anyway,
then you can turn farmers into book readers.
But is the reason for the difference in the price because of royalties?
No, the reason is because the publishers know they have us over a barrel.
Mm-hmm. And this has been a point.
It's been a big thing for a long time. The former director in Douglas County kind of led the national fight against it. And his solution was, well, then we'll just buy them ourselves. The publishers won't do that. The publishers won't sell them except to a few distributors. The Overdrive is one of them. Then the other thing is that the publishers are scared to death that we're going to copy them and they're not going to sell any. Now they've made it so that they're very hard to copy, but their thing is, well, you know,
we're probably worried like the music industry.
Yeah. But it's been a big fight for a long time and there've been lawsuits and it's a mess.
It's a thing.
I think once the general public is more and more engaged in it, then things will begin to change. When it was just librarians who listens to us.
Hey, people listen to you.
Some good news, quick good news. Lisa has a student, Virginia. I can't remember where she's from, but she's Spanish speaking. She took her first GED test. It was the math test. Can you imagine taking a math test in foreign language? And she passed it. She took it here. She does it online, took it here, got her passing grade and came out and told us. And the librarian stood around and cried. Oh. And her next one is on Monday.
Oh.
And so she's going to have her GED here pretty quick. Lisa, awesome. Very
good for
excited.
Her. Good for her, yeah.
Then the other thing, and we got a book objection. I thought you'd like them. It's a mom and she didn't want us to withdraw it, but she was very concerned. I had another mom in July say, you know, you don't have any books for kids about skin color. I thought, yeah, I guess we don't. So I scouted around and bought a bunch. And this is one of them, Our Skin. And the problem with it, I'll pass it around. It's checked out to me if anybody wants to just take it home. The problem is that in several places it goes like this. A long time ago, way before you were born, a group of white people made up an idea called race. They sorted people by skin color and said that white people were better, smarter, prettier, and that they deserve more than everybody else.
That's
wow.
Shit.
Wow.
I mean, that's not the way you
that's present
not the
it.
Way it happened.
Race and let's see. Then things about race. I mean, she was concerned. Here's the weird thing. I mean, I shopped it hard. I read part of it. I looked at ratings. The ratings are interesting because it's the average rating at Amazon is 4.5. But there, if you look at them chronologically, there was one strong, you know, love it. And then there were, this is racist, this is racist, this is racist. Why am I doing, why do I have to tell my child this? So it was an interesting issue. There are a bunch of other libraries in the collaborative who have it, and Douglas County has it in both this version and then in a board book, which is in all of their branches. So I don't know.
Well, there is an actual scientific reason our skin is different, but
Lori,
maybe they wanted to do it differently.
Our book club is thinking about doing banned books.
Oh, that'll be fun. It's good ones on the banned books list. But anyway, the mom was very reasonable. Janie got this last week while I was on vacation, so I couldn't talk to her, but I'm going to call her and talk to her. And she had an interesting point. But we buy books without knowing what's inside mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah. We just read a...
We do the best we mm-hmm. can. So that's something, you know, that, yeah.
But it almost seems like it's not even factual, so I don't know.
Well, it certainly has an agenda.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah. I looked at her up.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll call the mom. This is the same thing we did with the book about Japan with the naked Japanese ladies in their bath. And moms love to, well, everybody loves to be called because they like to be heard. And I'll tell her that we had a talk about it. Yeah. But there's a tricky time to be buying books for the library. And that's all I have. I took more than 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
Nope, that's okay. We had discussion. So, okay. So the next item on the agenda is discussion and approval of an employee discretionary bonus and transfer of monies from the current capital improvement account to payroll. So I'm going to want to read what I wrote as a motion. I mean, I kind of prefaced it then, but I'll read the motion and then we can talk about it and then we can actually do the motion. I'll give it to somebody with the question. So at the end of 2021, the Elbert County Library District had a director, a financial admin, a board of trustee president resign during a worldwide pandemic and during a critical period of budget planning and reporting to state and federal entities. These positions were key positions within the organization of the library. These losses within the organization added additional responsibility to an already short-staffed library district. It wasn't easy, but all full-time and part-time employees within the district came together as a team, taking on any and all additional responsibilities that came their way, and while ensuring the library continued its operations without missing any key reporting requirements or negatively impacting the excellent service provided to our patrons. For the staff's excellent service, I'd like to make a motion to approve providing a discretionary bonus to all full-time and part-time employees in fiscal year 2022, not to exceed a total of $75,000. This discretionary bonus does not include subs. This bonus is for salaried, non-exempt, and hourly employees This bonus for salaried, non-exempt, and hourly employees will be calculated using the difference in their current base pay or hourly rate and the increase to their base pay hourly rate in 2023 and multiply that difference by the hours worked in 22. So that means we're going to take their base rate they make today and the base rate we're planning for 2023. We'll take that difference and we'll multiply it by the hours worked in 2022, and that will be the bonus. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you that in writing too, and this motion will be a motion. For exempt employees, library managers in Elizabeth and Simla will take the difference between your current annual salary amount and your future annual salary amount for 2023, subtract any discretionary bonus, because that's what we're doing here, right? We don't want to double dip, we want to be equitable. So we will take the difference between their current annual salary amount and their future annual salary amount for 2023, subtract any discretionary bonus received to date to get their total for the year-end bonus. So we'll take the difference, we'll take out what you've been paid to date. That will make it equitable between the two of you, because before we were paying you less mm-hmm. on that discretionary, we're paying them more, so now it'll even out. Right. And for the Kiowa manager, since you're a new manager, what we're going to do is we're going to calculate the discretionary bonus as noted above based on two positions. Your hours worked as an ASG, so the difference in your pay had you been an ASG, mm-hmm. and then your difference in your pay from your manager for the time you've been a manager. And that will calculate that together, get a total, and then that will be your bonus. To cover the cost of this additional payroll, we're going to have to transfer $30,000
currently budgeted in the capital improvement funds. And I think that'll leave us 2,000 in capital improvements, which we didn't spend this year, right? And that'll be transferred or rebudgeted to payroll. So basically what that does is it allows, it's as if we gave the employees the amount they're getting next year, this year.
Right.
So they'll get, I want to do a motion to get that bonus for this year. And then we're going to review all the salaries. I don't think they'll change when I show them to you guys and you guys understand it. You'll understand where we pay them. Like I said, everybody is probably at least at the minimum, not minimum, at the midpoint of the salary range. And then we just use those time and position, time with the library, education experience to kind of do a little bit of a differentiator. So we'll go over that with all of you. But so does anybody want to discuss the bonus before we actually do an actual motion?
Oh, it's pretty straightforward here.
Question. Did you say anything at all to our, well, first off, the new director? I assume she has accepted the position or not?
No.
We don't know who.
No.
Okay. Then I'll ask my question because it's irrelevant.
No. That person will not necessarily have a say in the bonuses, but they will be able to look. And I'm sure that after I talk to all of them and explain the salaries, then I don't see that that person will have a problem. If that person accepts the offer, they want to start on December 5th. And so that will give them time to look at the budget and kind of mull it over and ask any questions that they have so that they can be brought in before we actually approve it. So basically we're taking, we put money aside to do the capital improvement fund, to do like the stuff for the expansion. We're basically going to move that money out since we haven't spent it, and we're going to use it on bonuses for the people.
Good with that.
Should be a winner.
Yeah.
Okay. So
people just more than deserve it. Mm-hmm. It's been a tough year.
It has been a tough year.
And we've actually, service-wise, I haven't noticed any difference in service. Everybody has been here always. Customers come in. It's been great.
So do you want to make the motion that I've written? This on that second paragraph.
Put in my eyes.
Anybody, did you want to say you have anything to say?
So the motion basically did this.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I have no comments. It all made sense.
It all made sense to you too. Okay.
Okay. this is
the second paragraph right here.
And that's the motion. Okay.
This is the discretionary bonus motion.
Right.
For the staff's excellent service, I'd like to make a motion to approve providing discretionary bonuses to all FT and PT employees in fiscal year 2022, not to exceed a total of $75,000. This discretionary bonus does not include subs. This bonus for salaried, non-exempt, and hourly employees will be calculated using the difference in their current base pay / hourly rate and the increase to their base pay hourly rate. Exempt hourly rate in 2023 and multiply that difference by the hours worked in 2022. For salary differences between their current annual salary amounts and their future annual salary amount for 2023, subtract any discretionary bonus supplemental pay they've been paid to date to get their total for their year-end bonus. For the Kiowa manager, we will calculate the discretionary bonus as noted above based on two positions and the hours worked for the positions held this year. To cover the cost, this additional payroll, $30,000 currently budgeted in the capital's improvement shall be transferred or re-budgeted to payroll.
Yes. Do you have a second on that?
I would second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ayes carry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, it'll be well appreciated.
What that boils down to basically is only about $45,000 is going to come out of that $300,000+ the budget beyond what's
already allocated. Right. What she's going to do is she's looked at each of the line items for each of the different positions. And then she said, okay, I have money here. I have money here. I can do this. I think where she was coming up a little short was under the tax, I think, where she was having a little bit of short, but that's why she's got to take the 30,000 out of that and put it into the payroll so that she can balance it in terms of how we finish out the year and then to provide these bonuses.
Mary Ellen.
Yes. And this will be paid, and I don't think we put that, so maybe I need to put that. This will be paid in the November payroll.
Oh.
Mary Ellen has worked diligently to make this work. And I just can't imagine working at as many hours as she has for a reduced price and doing so much good.
I just said November payroll. I can adjust it for you. So it'll take place in the November payroll.
Her sheets, everything. She always, I don't even have to ask. I mean, it's there.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I drove her crazy this week because things would come up and I go, wait, I think you need to adjust it and do this, or wait. So she goes, okay, I redid it. I sent you another copy. And I was like, okay, then we got to sit down and make sure all these adjustments that we were doing over the last week while she was here, that we make sure we get it right in the budget. Right. But she has been amazing and really helping so that we could, as a board of trustees, really do the best for our employees. So the bonuses each will be different because people's pay is different, but I'll talk to Marielle about how do we put that in some kind of a format that you can give them. Mm-hmm. And you can say, this is the bonus you're going to get, and this is how it was based. Mm-hmm. So that you can talk intelligently to that, like, you know, we'll give you yours so as well. This is the next discussion item is the removal of the supplemental pay because of the bonuses. So because we're expecting a new director to start on December 5th, I'd like to make a motion that we remove the monthly discretionary bonus or the supplemental pay from the library managers effective with the November pay period. So they're not, it's not like a double dip, right?
It says December on the agenda. You want to change that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, November.
So the new director is going to start in December, but the supplemental is going to end in November?
Yes, because they're getting bonuses.
Okay, but they're still doing the work.
They're going to get the bonus, but they're still getting the money. They're just getting it in a bonus in November versus the supplemental.
Okay.
And that bonus in November calculates for the year through mm-hmm. December.
Okay. Oh, so that goes through December.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was like to date.
No, we're just going to pull it out in the November pay period. And then when we recalculate with the bonuses, that recalculation takes into account the whole year, not just through November. It's going to December.
That's
clear. So are there any changes to this statement?
No, this is right. So,
It needs to be very clear that this is a one-time deal, because so often if it's a new employee or something, they may think, oh, well, I can start banking on.
This is a one-time, that's why it's a discretionary bonus.
Well, but they won't always understand what that means. So I think that we've got to make that really clear that this is a one-time.
To talk in terms of this desire on the part of the board and you guys to get the pay scale where it belongs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not like it's going to, well, okay, we did bonuses last year. You can't count on them this year, but you need to know the backstory about how we're getting.
And the other thing too, is that there are large increases coming this year, which is not anything we've ever done before. Right. If the average is 17.5%, right, percent increase, where the minimum is like a 10%, right, and the I can't remember what the top is, that may not happen either, right? It really is based on what is our gonna, what's our operating revenue? And like Mary Ellen said in the last meeting, we're only getting a 2.5% increase. So we're really taking all of this extra money that we garnered this year, right? Try to adjust it to do these bonuses so that people know that when we say we care about making sure people are paid equitably, that we're doing what we say. And then next year, right, you'll have the 2023 increases. And then probably what I will need to do is talk to the director when I'm transitioning what I've been doing, talk to the director about you may want to go back to employers council again, let them do another survey. It didn't cost us more than, I think the total bill was $750 or something, yeah. Right? So
well worth it.
Yeah, do another survey, see where we are again, see if there are any adjustments to be made. And if there are, great. It just means our ranges are higher, right? Could be higher. If not, then we can continue to pay in the ranges and continue to bring people up. We just don't, you want to keep that differential based on people's experience, education, time and tenure, time and position, right? You want to kind of keep that. And then the goal would be like next year, you actually have a performance review. So what she may decide next year is like, well, we'll do a performance review and maybe we'll do a straight 3% increase, for example, see where you guys fall in the ranges. And then if you've performed, right, give a little bit more for some, like, somebody's like a high performer.
Yeah. I like that because then you have the discretion with your crew and you know them.
Right. And we didn't have performance reviews this year, right? So what we tried to do was like, how are we equitable? Yeah. Like I had some conversation with Lori, like, Lori, why was this person paid this amount? This person was paid something else. Was that because before, you know, there was good performance? Like I'm just trying to be equitable and like giving a starting place, right? So that way you then can hire more easily and know where to bring people in and what the range is. And then you can also know that how you can continue to pay your people for the performance that they do, right? And try to continue to bring you up so that way we can get to that living wage, right? Whatever that will be, right? I don't know. So, okay. So can I get somebody to make this? There's any other discussions about the supplemental pay removal and the discretionary bonus?
This one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Other motion. Because we're expecting a new director to start December 5th, 2022, I'd like to make a motion that we remove the monthly discretionary bonus supplemental pay from the library managers effective with the November pay period and replace it with the annual discretionary bonus being paid to all employees.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Did you say aye?
Yes.
Did you say aye, Sheila?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear you. Just making sure. Okay. Carries. Now this is about the director. Is that the next thing? Okay, this is about the director. So I contacted the two candidates on Friday. Or I contacted the one we selected on Friday. I'm not going to say the name. And she was excited. And she was good with the pay. She was good with the relocation bonus that we offered. She did ask for an exception to our vacation policy. And I told her I couldn't make that decision, that I had to bring it back to the board. And the exception was that at 1 to 5 years, if you're a full-time employee, you accrue 2 weeks a year of vacation. And instead of being 1 to 5, she asked if she could be brought in at the 6 to 11, where they accrue 3 weeks of vacation. So that was her only request. And I think if we meet this request, and then I can get the offer put in writing, she's going to accept that with no problem. And she's given a tentative start date of December 5th. She did not, she did tell her employer on Monday, but she did not give notice and will not give notice until she gets the offer letter.
A question about that. So do we have more than the two tiers?
We have three. So it's like 1 to 5, 6 to 11.
Mm-hmm. And so where would,
So if we say we want to bring her at one level, like how long does she need to work here before she's brought up to the next level?
It is, I can tell you what the chairs are. So I don't remember, like, but I think it's 6 to 11 and 12 to... Here it is. So it's 1 to 5. If you're a full-time employee, 40 hours a week, you accrue 80 hours per year. If you're, and there's calculations for part-time employees, right? It's different. So we're talking full-time. Okay. 6 to 10 years, it's 120 hours per year you accrue, or 11 plus years is 160 hours per year. So she, instead of starting at 1 to 5, she wanted to start at 6 to 10.
So my question is like, just does she need to work 11 years before she gets up to the 160, or does she need to work here for 4 years, 5 years?
So, right, is she starting on year one, but.
Is she starting on year 6 or is she starting on year 1?
She's starting on year 6. That's what she said.
Okay.
So do you think that's because she's been in the business so long?
It's because she gets unlimited vacation in her current job. Mm-hmm. So she's taking really like a cut terms of vacation.
Totally. I mean, it makes sense to me. I thought we should clarify that.
Yeah, yeah. Starting at 6.
Does it matter? Do they have to take the time all as one lump deal?
No, they accrue it.
Break it up. Can they break it up? Do so many weeks at a time type of deal.
She would get the vacation. If we agreed to the exception, she would get the 120 hours per year of vacation. Plus she gets personal and sick time, which, what does that accrue? Like, what is that? Like 2 weeks? I think it comes to like 2 weeks. So she's actually getting 3 and 2 is 5, a total of 5 weeks that she can take as she accrues it. And she accrues so much every month. Yeah. Up to that per year.
Well, but on vacation, that's not necessarily true. You have to put in a full year before you receive your allotted.
Not if you're a full-time employee.
Oh yeah, it is. It is.
It says, hold on, let me
this
see.
This is one of the areas that was really gray in the new handbook that we had to parse out. It says that you will receive...
We said from day one, that's how we applied it. So we said...
So that needs to be part of this, because that is, if you're going to do the additional benefit of starting at 6 years, in the wording of that, you want to make sure that it's saying that she will receive the benefit on the first day of her employment, because that's contrary to our handbook.
Yeah. So the handbook says employees who work 40 hours per week will receive 80 hours or 2 work weeks of paid vacation on their hiring anniversary.
Right,
after working for the library for 1 year.
Right, so you're offering, she wants
Hold on a minute, because I think we, hold on.
If we bring her in at a 6-year employee level, does that apply?
Well, because Mary Ellen and I talked about this for somebody else, and I think what we said was, you don't have to wait a year to use it.
Well, we've held on a year. Every one of us, we've all done 1 year, and that's how the handbook is written. That's why I say I think
it wasn't clear, and she asked me for clarity, and I said do that, because that's I think how it came across. But and I have a note that I need to have it clarified when I read you the handbook.
Yeah, and so, but I think in
your did you start accruing?
No, none of us did. You had to work a full year, and then you got the whole amount, and then accrued every. And then, and that's why it's confusing. It's saying
accrual per hour.
You're getting confused at the same point we all got confused, and that is
employees who work less than 40 hours per week and more than 15 hours a week will receive prorated vacation on their hiring anniversary after they work for PP&L for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
No vacation will be awarded until an employee has worked for PP&L for 1 year. Vacation time will accrue monthly after the first anniversary date.
But I think I don't know. We read this, and what it came down to was, from what I don't even remember who we consulted about. I don't remember all this because it was, but.
Well, Mary Ellen came to me and we talked about it when you brought it up to her. Well, when it, there was a time when she had to either pay somebody out, she was either paying somebody out, which was like Ruben.
Ruben.
Or she was, somebody that, was starting
Ruben
new.
Was so way long ago. He was over a 10-year employee. But the way that we interpreted the handbook was all employees, part-time or full-time, had to work for 1 year. And on their 1 year anniversary, they received their 80 hours. And then from that point forward, they accrued it by each day, you know, each month. And so you don't actually, based on the way, I wish I could remember who interpreted this for us, because we went rounds and rounds and rounds with this, you and I. Huh?
No, it was me. It was me.
But that's how we came down. That's what we came down to, though, because that's how I was applying it as the bookkeeper and yeah. and everything. And so, like for Janie, for instance, she had to wait a year, and then she received it in one lump sum, the 80 hours. But then from moving forward, she was accruing monthly. And so all I'm saying is, based on the lack of clarity in our handbook, I think you need to have your motion be clear.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, we could split hairs, but I think the bottom line is you want your motion to be very clear about how you're going to apply it.
Hold on, let me just read this a minute. The amount of paper.
Good catch.
I just want to make sure, because I don't want I don't want you guys to present something to her and have it not be right. Yeah. I guess that's it. You know,
receive 80 hours of paid vacation on their hiring anniversary after working for PP&L for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Employees who work less than 40 hours per week and more than 15 will receive prorated vacation on their hiring anniversary after working. No vacation. Vacation time will accrue monthly after the first anniversary date.
So see, that's
an employee may accrue. Now your paid time off and your paid and sick time or your personal time.
Your PTO starts right away.
Okay.
So that gives you your sick, you know, in case you have to go to the doctor or dentist or whatever.
That and that's gives, 2 weeks.
And that is accruing from the get-go.
Okay.
So that starts immediately. But for someone that hasn't negotiated something different, the handbook is 80 hours at, you know, at your anniversary and let's then accrual after that.
Let's talk about, because I'm trying to remember the conversation that I had with her. So I guess the question that I would say is, can you give me the authority to do either or, whatever we want to do? If we just want to, if all we want to do is start it at the 6 year point and say that's the offer, then I can do that. It'll start at the 6 year point. You'll follow this process, but instead of accruing 80 hours at the end of your first year, you'll accrue 120.
Well, but I'm also looking.
It seems to me like what she's saying, though, is that she's used to having a lot of leave. She's going to want that leave right now.
Right. She's going to want it. Right.
I mean, I would say that
because she's not going to want to go a full year without a day off.
Where she accrues leave at the level of a 6 year employee, and that she begins accruing her leave immediately upon her start date and it is available to her at the end of her first pay period.
I think she's correct.
I think that's right.
This
okay.
is what
and then
the lady's looking
that's what
for.
She's
she
asking
wants
for.
To be able to use part of that
because
time.
Because running the other way, she's going to.
You know, soon after, you know, sometime after she's here a couple of months or whatever, she wants to be able to use X amount of time is what she's getting at. So
I'm of an age where I want my leave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Well, I
paid her dues in the industry,
well,
so
yeah,
just changing jobs is knocking her back.
To make a deal.
Yeah,
and come be
I'm okay with whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. I just want to be able to.
What she's saying here makes sense.
Just use it now or use it later.
Okay, so let's just. And then I've got it marked here. We need clarity on this.
Oh yeah, no,
I've been looking at it as being if we were in the public world, it would be the way it's written. The way we think it's written is that you have to be and employ a certain amount of time before you're vested to get any kind of.
Right. Yes. Right. That's the way it's written today.
And the question is,
is that reasonable in today's world?
Marketplace.
I don't know how it is. But, you know, people have kids. They, you know, they.
Well, they do have the personal and sick, which is 2 weeks that you get as you accrue it, right?
Right, but that's different and far away. I mean,
but
yeah.
That's not. No,
but it may be
saying.
Something to reconsider for the future in right. terms of do it, when you hire somebody on, especially I don't know. It doesn't matter if it's prorate or not. You're going to pay. You're going to pay out the vacation now or later. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and really, it's a penalty. It's. I think what they're asking for is we want your loyalty, and then we'll give it to you.
I don't know why. I mean,
and
I
then
because
if you quit in the first year, you will have not accrued any vacation that could be paid out.
Well, and you could. I mean,
you could do a 90 days
for people. Then yeah, you can also make that as, you know, if you quit before the end of your first year, well, then suddenly all of that became unpaid leave.
Or well, but then there's back pay.
And it was written the same way in our previous handbook.
Yeah. No, it was. We went and looked at that too. And then, but I think the other part is, I don't think it's a bad thing to have a probationary period, like a 90-day period. But to ask somebody to wait a whole year to,
yeah.
Well, I mean, we did it, but you waited.
Maybe we
waited,
just
waited.
I'll talk when we're redoing the handbook. Maybe what I'll do is I'll just talk to Justin and say, after a 90-day probationary mm-hmm. period, you can. I don't
because
know.
Because by then, that kind of coincides with unemployment law too. Because at the 90-day period, once you go beyond that, now you're beholden to unemployment and all of these other things. So in theory, you should get rid of a bad employee within the first 90 days. One way they should either leave or you should show them the door during that first 90 days if performance is not.
I'll make a note that we need to.
And the thing is, do we want this director?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
well, that's why I wanted to clarify because I know what the handbook says.
So do you want to make a motion on what you said?
I'm making a motion. So I would say let's make a motion. I'm making a motion to make an exception to the employee policy on leave accrual so that our new director may accrue leave at the level of a six-year employee with accrual beginning immediately on her start date and available at the end of her first pay period. That's it.
That's good.
Okay.
I've recorded it.
I would accept that. I would second that.
So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so you made the first motion?
I seconded it.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
It made sense to me. It covers the situation there that you're trying to cover
and
with
it's
her.
Kind of please her the, what she
if
liked.
You can let me know tomorrow how we wrote that so that I can make sure and get it. I can document it here because I want to try to put the offer letter together.
Read it again slowly and I'll just write it down.
It says that she will accrue leave at the level of a six-year employee.
Start from the beginning.
Oh, from there. Making a motion to make an exception to the employee policy on leave accrual.
On vacation accrual.
Okay, is that what we call it, vacation
mm-hmm.
accrual?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that our new director may accrue vacation time at the level of a six-year employee.
Put 120 hours in paren. Just so that we're clear.
Accrue
for 120 hours per year. Okay. With accrual beginning immediately upon her start date. And vacation time becoming available at the end of her first pay period. And accrued vacation time becoming available.
So what's going to happen is she's going to, if she starts on December 5th, she's not starting at the beginning or the end, somewhere in the middle or of a pay period. So I think you should say at the end of her second pay period, because that's really like she's going to have a pay period. It's not even a
she
full.
Could, no, but she could use yeah, it. If she got, if she, let's say she got 12 hours, she could use the 12 hours if she wanted. Do you know what I mean? She probably won't because it's not enough to really do anything with. But she has the option of beginning to use her accrued time at the end of her first pay period.
But the end of her first pay period is going to be
10 days later. Oh, that's true.
See,
that's
so I'd say at the end of her second pay period. Okay. I would do that.
Yeah, I mean, but she's going to be, she'll probably have accrued something like 6 hours.
I would just still say at the end of her right. second pay period, which is a full pay period.
Makes more sense from the standpoint that she knows exactly where she stands.
Yeah, right I mean, the other, because yeah, if another, she, let's a, just say she went another, 10 days and then she quit, then you'd have to pay her okay. out.
But the other part, well, but the other part of it is that, and just putting it into context is let's say in the 10 days that she's working, she accrues some time. Maybe she wants to take it at Christmas. I don't know. Because Christmas is in between there and there, you know, the 15th of December, or 15th of January or 22nd or whatever. So I don't know. I'm just interjecting for thought for just, you know,
makes sense.
So I don't know. If you just say from the get-go, it just makes
just
it
say
easier.
It from the beginning, I guess.
Yeah, because it'll be easier on Mary Ellen too to just start it with like the very first pay period.
Mary Ellen will hate it.
No, she has a spreadsheet.
I know.
See, Mary Ellen has a spreadsheet, and she can enter this into the spreadsheet, and it'll.
We're gonna have automated payroll
and. And the accrual is easy for her, so it'd be easier for Mary Ellen if we just do it from day one.
Okay. Okay. We'll just do it from the beginning. I mean, we'll just say from the beginning, right? From her start date.
Right.
From her start date. Yeah. Just say from her start date because she's going to accrue it and it's only going to pay like. Okay.
And if she quits, so she gets 3 extra hours of time. I mean, whatever.
Hopefully she won't quit.
No, hopefully she does.
Glad we got it right.
Okay.
Guys, be careful. Let's not run her off.
Yeah. Any public comment? Because I do have some additional things. Do you have any comments? Okay. Okay. So, so then I had a couple other items come up that I wanted to talk to you guys about. So Mary Ellen sent out a call for people to do an audit, for somebody to do an audit because it's that time a year again. And I got one response back. They asked for our financials. I sent them the financials and they said it wasn't worth their time. And I said, okay, thank you. So I sent out a note to Lori, who did our audit last year, and said, would you be willing to redo our audit again this year? And I think that'll be good. It'll be a check on us. Did we do what we said we were going to do, right? And she said yes, that she could do that and that she was going to increase the hours by 5 hours, and her rate had gone up to $200 an hour. So it's going to be $9,000 for the audit.
9,
so, 000? Yeah, it was like $7,500 or something like that. $7,800, I think, this past year. She was the least expensive.
As I say, everything's going up. And consistency, there is something to consistency there.
So with that said, I'd like to make a motion that we use, I forget what their name
Hendricks.
Is. Hendrick.
Something.
And I'll give you the name. The Hendrick.
It's in my notes somewhere.
Yeah, the Hendrick Law, the Hendrick Accounting Practice, our accounting firm. And at a, excuse me, and approve the, approve the bid of
$9,000. Okay.
I second that.
Any discussion?
Yeah, any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
We need it done.
Aye.
Okay. So there's been word in the community about the county has not done their audit and submitted their audit to the state for 2021.
Whoa.
We submitted ours in July. We didn't have a director, and they have not submitted theirs yet at all. And so I sent a note to county manager to say, because for us, if we had not submitted our audit, the county could withhold our funds, our tax dollars, if we had not submitted it timely. So I sent a note to the county manager and said, hey, I understand. And we validated online with the state that they have not filed their audit, so it's not a rumor. So I said, I understand you haven't filed your audit compliance for this year. how does that impact us from a tax perspective? You know, for taxing and, you know, getting our tax dollars. And Commissioner Richardson came back, and I have it in writing that it will not impact us. So
that's good.
So I wanted you guys to know that.
Aren't they going to get justified?
I almost said something really crappy.
I don't know. So also the next topic I wanted to quickly talk about, and I'm sorry, these kind of came in after I had put this out and thought about, these things were coming in my head, but I sent requirements to the managers this week on automated timekeeping and payroll. They gave some suggestions, and I'm going to add it, and I'm going to try to set up demos with Paylocity, Paychex, and ADP the second week in November.
Oh, second week.
Did I say first or second?
You said first.
Did I say first? Oh, that's 2 weeks from now, though, right?
Oh, the 7th, the week of the, so that's the week of the 7th. Oh, I guess I was thinking it was next week. Okay,
sorry. Or the next, no, I think it's
Monday
the week
is the 31st, and yeah. The rest of the week is November, so I thought it was next week, and we booked, I started to book something, and then it got changed, so we're good.
So I will call them and see, like, I guess the question I have for you guys, do you want to do it, like, late in the afternoon? When do you want to, you know, I want to try to tell them what the availability is.
I think morning works better for me.
Morning?
I'll make it work no matter what.
Okay, so I'll see what times are available.
I mean, we'll make it work, whatever, okay. But I don't know. I always feel like morning people are more on their game in the morning than they are in the afternoon. But
okay. I'll schedule it so that way we'll get that done. So the goal is that we could get this demo, right, and that, hopefully, I don't know if they could get it done by the end of the year, but if we could get rolled on by the end of the year, you know, Mary Ellen has accounted for that in the budget, right? But I think that will help us a lot, because the objective is, Mary Ellen says she spends, like, I think she said about 10 hours a month doing that, maybe a little more because she's doing the reporting. And basically, as I had mentioned in the last meeting, the 1095s didn't get filed in 2019. And this would be something that if we had an automated payroll and accounting, a liability we wouldn't have to worry about anymore. That would be something that they would do, right? It wouldn't be us filing that. So we want to make sure that we have a payroll company that's handling all of that reporting and all of that para reporting, all of that stuff that Mary Ellen is doing to handle that. Out of house, and so they take on the liability, and that keeps us from being single points of failure, right? And then I did talk to the new director about the accounts receivable, accounts payable piece, and explained kind of how we had been doing that piece, and I told her what we did, and she kind of laughed, and then she said she has QuickBooks experience, so she may decide that you guys would keep doing your invoices like you're doing, right? And then if she had an admin person, that admin person could gather all that together, right, and give it to her so she could sign off on it. And then, you know, the treasurer could sign off on it, kind of make sure we have that three different people, right? And then she could enter it in QuickBooks, that little piece, right? And she was like, didn't seem like that would be a problem for her at all. Or if she hires an admin, right. Could show the admin.
Right, she could train her. Yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah,
with him.
Okay, that's right. True.
We could train that person.
The person that probably the best on paper we had was a guy. So
I did talk to Lori about you guys haven't done the admin yet, and she said no, waiting for the director. And I think that's a better wait for the director.
That was kind of our, we felt like things were rolling, so why pick somebody for somebody else?
So. Yeah. And I, so, and then just a reminder that, our meeting in November is not on Wednesday. It's on Tuesday, November 22nd. I will be in Tampa and I will be flying back that morning. So hoping, fingers all crossed, that I make it back without any problems and we'll be at the meeting. But if something should happen, then, I'll let Robert know. Because that's the meeting we need to.
So we're doing it
the 22nd.
On a Tuesday
instead of a Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And it is the what we put in the public notice for the public meeting to discuss budget.
Okay.
So, and hopefully, right, the goal is we've done our due diligence, everything has kind of been accounted for. Hopefully, maybe we even have a
a bid in terms of accounting and payroll. Mary Ellen has put money in the budget, but then she'll have something closer to that. And then that way, then after we have that public meeting, and I, that person who we're selecting as a director may be at that meeting. That person would have come today, but I said, well, you might want to wait since we're still working on your offer, and that you might want to wait because, you know, make sure you accept it. So she was like, no problem. And then tomorrow, the law office of Littler was having a like an executive, like a conference for executive HR to support like executive HR. And so I asked her if she wanted to go because they sent a notice. I said, it might be good for you to go to kind of hear this. And there were probably on the agenda two or three things that might be something just good for her to know. And so I was going to go and I thought, do you want to go? And she was like, yeah, I'll go. And then I sent the note to Littler and they're doing it at no cost. I'm just going to hear, like, to make sure we didn't do anything wrong this year, right? And
how could we have possibly done anything?
And for her, right, like I said, it just might be good for you, and it'll be an opportunity to meet them, and you can build a relationship with them on behalf of the board. So, so that's happening tomorrow. And I think that was it that I have that came in after I, you know, that I thought about after I put this together. So, does anybody have anything else?
I just want to say congratulations to Robert and Alan for getting the fence done.
Yeah.
That was a pain in the now it's done. And I've got the key.
All we're waiting on is signs, which I'm hoping maybe next week.
Well, that was something nobody was expecting.
No. We have a chain, so if you all know, the padlock, the key is in that deal.
The new key
so,
box.
Fire department, they're just going to whack the chain. They said they would not whack the padlock, so we'll get a reuse the padlock, just we'll lose a couple links on the chain.
When I put the offer together for the new director and I get it back signed, I will let all of you know. But then I would still ask, like, we can then tell employees, right? But what I would say is we want to make a public announcement about it. And I want her to have some input into that.
Can
right?
Get something published in the paper?
That's what I was thinking. Like she might want to say a greeting or, you know, who I am. Or, and she's also...
we can have a news release prepared.
Yeah, we'll work that. Right.
We're in advance of her... accepting the offer.
Well, I talked to Click about it and they said it would be good if she had some engagement in it because she might want to.
I'm kind of saying, like, you could draft a news release, or I can draft
it. You want to draft it?
Well, you can draft a news release. You know, I just need some biographical information about her and I can draft
it. She can contribute. That's what she can
do. She can contribute to that.
So that when we get the offer letter back, we just send it out.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll do the offer, then I'll ask her to contribute to, and before we announce it to anybody that she's accepted, we'll have it drafted. That way we can put it out. I mean, we'll not come back and tell, I mean, I'll tell you guys, but I won't tell everybody that it's, you can't go out and tell people. You guys already know, right, yeah. But you can't go out and tell anybody and we tell
people. Yeah, it's like we can tell employees, but don't make it public. It's just for our information only in-house. And it's an internal, announcement.
Yeah. We'll work it.
PR is just like ready to go. And when you receive the response back, then you just send it out. And then there's not a
delay or a
boot. You may want to then let me gather some information from her.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
and then
it doesn't hurt to draft it.
Right. No, go ahead and draft it. Go ahead and draft it.
I'm pretty sure this is a done deal.
I'm pretty sure unless something happens tomorrow and I'm like trying to make sure nothing happens. Yeah.
Your deal Saturday is 9:30.
Okay.
It starts at 10.
Or 10.
So 10 to 4. Or 3.
9:30 will set up.
Okay. Yeah. 9:30 set up.
I make a motion when you adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.